The thing is the Horizon Mountains. Yeah, I think it's Basra. It's defined in Isaiah 63. Who is coming from Edom, bloodstained garments, and Basra. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you some slides before we go any further.
Boys.
for your filth. Okay? Now, when you pray, you open your prayer book. And even in the Orthodox Church, I can't be a tree, okay, with a thousand seeds. And as outsiders, number one, don't tell any missionaries, they're trying to find your friends, never again. Just always guests, okay? Never try to win Jews to the Lord in their house. You would not want Mormons to come to church while you have services and try to witness while your service is going on. So respect what they're doing, but do your witnessing elsewhere. And I'll tell you how to do that later on this week as we go ahead. Now, the Muslims heard to go to the Orthodox synagogue, men can go. Check with the rabbi to see if women are allowed. And so they may be behind a partition or someplace else, but they cannot be in the main body. So it might be smart to go to conservative, where men and women can go together. Okay? Some conservatives split. Women on one side, men on the other. Orthodox may have a system of women on one side and a curtain down the middle, and the men on the other side. Also, it might be a balcony. The women up in the balcony, the men down below. It depends on how the synagogue is arranged. Now, the men include 13-year-old boys, 13 who have taken a bar mitzvah. They're now a man. Taking a bar mitzvah as a young man means the father is no longer responsible for that boy's sins. The load of responsibility now is on the boy, is now a man. The father is relieved. Judaism. A heaven that is going to say bar mitzvah. Now, under modern Judaism, and reform Judaism, and some conservative Judaism, we have them called bat mitzvah. Because not the girl left, and now they're trying to get the girls involved in this too. But under today's law, all law, girls are not involved in this. In fact, women are to stay at home or go over the upper part or separated by a curtain. They're not allowed to participate in the service, in the Orthodox service. If they have any questions, they ask at home. You see where I'm coming from. The early church was Jewish. It came out of the synagogue movement. They were reformed out of the synagogue movement. They were a sect of Judaism. And they were called Nazarenes, the follower of the Nazarene. It wasn't until they got to Antioch that they were called Christos, or the followers of Christos, or Christians. When Paul took his group finally out from the synagogue and went to the house next door, that was the beginning of pulling away from the synagogue movement. But for some time, the early believers were a sect of Judaism. Right? That's the reason why it was said to the women to be silent in the church. If you have any questions, ask at home. It comes out of Judaism. And the women knew this. They knew the situation. If you're going to understand New Testament theology, understand basic Jewish thinking, and you get a good insight. You get a concept of what Paul was driving. Paul was a Pharisee, was a rabbi, he knew the law, he knew the system, you see. And all the Jewish men did this, and all the Jewish women did this. All right, so yeah. Now, by the way, how many of you ever wondered, when you see them in the prayer acting wedding wall, they're like this? How many ever wondered about that? In the Jewish book of Y, we get this at the bookstore, in book Y 1 and 2, written by a rabbi, it was said that this started early, when the Western Wall was available, long before the prayer war, I mean, prayer years ago, the one before, even with the temples, didn't there? When the wall came up, it said that some of the men did not have prayer books. The one in front of them had a prayer book. But the guy in back of them didn't want to have a prayer book, so he pulled his hand this way. Kind of giving the impression of a prayer book. He was bending over looking at the guy in front. And he's going like this. He's going to stand there, bending over, take a look. And I laughed, and I remember that. I think he's a kid. I didn't know that. So I learned that from the Jewish book of one. Alright. Okay, and something else I remember too. That during the church, or the synagogue service, I use the word, during the synagogue service, the Torah is taken out of the ark. Now where the Baptist really happens to be, much lower. There's nothing there, you see, and the Torah, the big scriptures. But that's seven of them. And two men will walk up and pull the big gates or curtain back. And one man will be given the responsibility of marching the Torah around the roof. Either it comes down in the front and around this way and back, or marching all the way around the synagogue. And as it goes along, the people will come down to the front, either take a book and kiss the book, or take the prayer shawl in the middle, touch the Torah, and kiss the covers. Never be a touch near a man to the Torah. It is revered and it is holy to the Jewish person. You never touch it. And it's honored when it comes into the... You never deface the scriptures. You never mark the Torah. You never deface it. It's God's word. That's how we treat the Torah. We are God's enemy. Okay? You're welcome. Take a look at me right now. Okay, let's go ahead. Now here's some more boys in the sidewalks. These are called blacks. Or sidewalks. You find out in the book. There's a young man, an older man, I'd say. Whether it's people or younger, but it's real shade. There's a kind of a joke. Not really a joke, but kind of serious. To be real Orthodox, you don't have a crochet yarmulke. But it's now the trend among the young people. And the mothers and girlfriends are now crocheting now because all of the shapes and sizes. And it's the same thing today. But among the real Hasidic Jews, it's got to be plain, it's got to be black. Okay, it cannot be fancy. Alright, there's a second yeshiva, the rabbinical seminary. You'll see several of those in the area. This is a rabbi, and he's allowed to ship his system by fish for a bachelor of press. And right down the street, he'll get a telephone. He gets response to watch. It's three of his guys on the street. Bob Stanley, the man you can see on the backboard, pastor of a lifeline Baptist church in Brooklyn, New York, who's a Jewish. Jewish and Gentile congregation. His wife is a Jewish leader. Bob is not. Okay, me and another fellow and I are all passing cracks out there. And we waited to see what this guy was going to do. He did not spend enough time on the phone to make any phone calls, so we went to the end of the block and went in a different direction. We got out of there real quickly. Why? Because in Brooklyn, you have what they call, it's not a militia, but it's a self-sustained police force. And rabbis lighting cars with either red lights or blue lights on the dashboard on top of their car. And they are the patrol system in this particular area of Brooklyn. All you have to do is get on the phone and say we're having trouble with some rabble-rousers. They will be there with several cars to beat you up. Even the police are afraid to move in that area at times, because they, Jewish people, are very, very protective. Some of them have an idea that Jewish people are violent, but these Hasidic Jews are especially protective. They do not want missionaries in, they do not want to be upset with their life. As far as an outsider is concerned, stay out. Don't be in our territory. They have themselves and followers together. Alright? He also looks like Rabbi Schneerson, who is the great rabbi, or the leader of the Lubavitcher movement. worldwide. Culture bankers. When we say culture, you probably have to have a rabbi on the premises to oversee to make sure whatever is done has to be followed to the letter of the law. Okay, that's important. So a lot of rabbis, they decide on these as being on the premises or inspectors to make sure certain businesses follow the cash flow or the cultural laws. This is another synagogue. This is a Russian Jew. Brooklyn, and near Brooklyn, a place called Brighton Beach, has about 100,000 Russian Jews. And we go in there, and that guy's not on his mirror, on the other month, and we cast out Russian Hebrew Testaments to Russian Jews. And our missionaries are very bold. We don't advise you doing this. I'll tell you that. What we do, we're out to a Brooklyn apartment building, we know it's Russian Jews. You can't get in. Why? But we stand there, one stands there, and pushes the buttons. And someone buzzes, and we go in. I'm not advising you to do that. But we do it. Only way you can get the Russian Jews. And then we start at the top and work our way down. We split into groups. One goes to the middle, and one starts at the top. And we meet each other down at the bottom. And you go knock at each door. And we've never been told about yet, but some of these people are taking Hebrew scriptures. I met one lady, she spoke Russian, but she spoke Yiddish. I didn't speak Yiddish, so we couldn't converse. But they did take some testaments, and we were excited about that. When we were coming down, Bob had been at the top floor. He was dealing with a young Russian Jew that could speak English. And this man was inviting him back to talk about the claims of the Son of Jesus. So you see this openness. When Bob and Bill, Peterberger, the two missionaries of this one church in Brooklyn, they passed out these Russian Hebrew testaments on the boardwalk at Brighton Beach. Thousands of Russian Jews sit out there in the summertime. And it's a field. The Jews will take these testaments. They've never seen a Bible. You can't believe what they're saying. When you talk about the Messiah of Jesus, who is the Messiah? What are you talking about? They come from Russia, they visit Russia, they know nothing. And we must strike while the iron is hot. Because the Lubavitch movement knows about our work. And they're sending in men from Jews for Judaism to strike at these Russian Jews and tell them, we're the enemy. Be careful. Don't take anything from the missionary. So we have to do our work quick. That's why I'm warning you, not only be involved in Jewish work and other types of missions, but be involved in Muslim work. Before mosques are set up. Once they're set up, you won't have the opportunity of reading the same of the Lord. So it's important. Before they get strong roots and connections in this country, strike while the iron is hot. Don't wait. Alright, so yeah. Now here, again, two Hasidic Jews, they saw me take the picture, so they know what I was getting into. These are ladies, these are Hasidic Jewish ladies, and they must have a head covering or a wig over top of their own hair. If they go bareheaded, you can pretty well figure out they have a wig on top of their hair. They cannot show their natural hair. This was taken by one of our missionaries in Denver, Colorado, at a fair at the University of Denver. And then there's a Jewish lady picking up some tracks, and apparently she saved weight for what she saved. This is again, another shot of Brooklyn. I could have some of these things in for you. This is what the street looked like when we were passing out tracks. Very crowded, thousands of people, and many opportunities to pass out tracks. Then, there's a young man. By the way, you see the young men in this area who are pushing the baby carriages about and taking children up by their hands. These men work at odd times. They're supported by the community. Each man works in the community, but each man has certain time spent with his family. He's the one who takes the children up. He's the one that plays with them. He's the one you see by pushing the baby carriage. In this area, Jewish wives are the housekeepers. They are the queen of the home. They run the home. He oversees it. But she has control of the house. That's Jewish thinking. I was there this last time, during the Feast of Purim, and at the frightening old, I didn't have my camera, I'm sorry, I wish I did. Because during the Feast of Purim, it really should be a feast of rejoicing from the deliverance of the wicked king. You find it in the Book of Esther, the last chapter. It is a non-feast, a non-God-commanded feast, I'm going to put that. God-commanded seventh feast, the Feast of Purim, is a feast that's observed, but it's not one of the seven. The Feast of Hanukkah is from the Maccabean times, and comes out of the Sermon on the Books, or Sermon on the Books.
Thank you.
scriptures in Israel. He has to learn Hebrew. He doesn't know the Greek tongue, but he has to be able to read. He learns a certain amount. And we have to say it in his bar mitzvah. It takes weeks to get ready, months to get ready for his bar mitzvah. And then here's the young lad going into the mikvah waters or being baptized. Typical Jewish, being baptized by a rabbi. This is a ram's horn, very ornate. And I said, I wanted to get one in Brooklyn. I should have. I'm probably going to run away and get one because most people have never seen one. I've never heard the sound of one. You've never heard the sound of a ram's horn. It's high genuine for him. And the bullet that I've done before, there's certain sounds, a certain number of times of bullet. Everything has a meaning to you. This is a ark. And you open those little doors out and there will be a door. That's just a small ark. This I thought I'd throw in. This is the thing in Toronto, Canada. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. As a kosher Chinese person. There are Chinese Jews, you know. In China, there's a large community of Chinese Jews. There are some Chinese Jews in Toronto, Canada. This is a kosher Chinese person. This is a man praying at the wedding wall. Very intense in prayer. Very intense. Here again, he has his blankers on. You probably can't see him. He's wearing his wrap and his hat. And then this is a picture of this California State University. Fresno, I told you about the mosque being erected there. There it is. Right across the street from the University of California in Fresno. This is one in Denver, Aurora, Colorado. Just outside Denver, Colorado. Again, you see them all over the world. And they're being erected at enormous rates. Now I'm going to show you one thing more before we take a break. All of it will carry on to the other sessions as we go ahead. We have plenty of time to finish this and also go into some other areas. Let me say some things about Judaism itself. If you want to know more about the Jewish way, this book, you'll find this at most Walden Books or Dalton Bookstores. It costs you $10.95. It's a good investment. It's written by Dr. Blue Greenberg, and she'll tell you all different things in here. How to run a traditional Jewish household. Now don't go out and all of a sudden come back, tell your pastor, well, pastor, run the wall, we're going to be kosher and everything else. This is just giving you insight on the Jewish thinking. Talks about Shabbat, talks about how being a kashrut, which means kosher. Talks about the laws of family purity, daily prayer and blessings, parenting, education, address, speech. The mezuzah, by the way, the mezuzah is that little box, a little, it holds the Shema in there, Deuteronomy 6:4. You'll find an angle at the door when you come in, and every Jew will touch it when he comes in, put it to his lips. Every Catholic will touch something similar, and genitalic. Yarmulkes are Jewish, popes, and priests wear yarmulkes, or cardinals wear yarmulkes. Roman Catholicism is Levitical priesthood. Tainted with Babylonian thinking. Judaism has been tainted with Babylonian thinking. Islam has been tainted with Babylonian thinking. The Jews came out of the dispersion and brought back the zodiac. You'll find it on some of the synagogue floors. The months are not Jewish. Abib and Nisan and so forth are Babylonian. That's how they got their names. Some of the things they do today come from Babylonian. Tells you about marriage, birth, abortion, birth control, bar mitzvah, divorce, death of mourning, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, repentance, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, Hanukkah, Purim, Pesach, or Passover, and some other things. And the women would like this. We have some kosher recipes in here. But it gives you insight in basic Judaism. All right, let's go ahead. Judaism is a religion of people coming out of the Old Testament. And of course, their experience with God is through the nation of Israel, is through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promise was given to Abraham. We talked about the covenants yesterday. We won't go into it now, except let me say this much. There are certain things, like the Palestinian covenant, that God bound himself to this covenant, and it will not be negated. It means that the nation will be fully and permanently restored to the area of the world given to them for an everlasting possession. Now then, there are some people who will say, I'm a spiritual Jew. There's no such thing as a spiritual Jew. You're either Jew or Gentile. You're either born Jewish or you're born Gentile. The Bible speaks of two groups of people only. Even though we have many nationalities, only two groups of people. Now, what is happening today? We have some groups of people, especially the charismatic movement, who are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm not saying don't stop praying for the peace of Jerusalem, do that. But pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. And witness to the Jewish people. We want to teach you that. The greatest form of anti-Semitism is not to share with them the good news. Keep it from them, and you're being anti-Semitic. You're saying to them, I don't love you. And you can go into a lost eternity. That's why some of the early church people felt that the Jews were not worth dealing with. They were less than dogs, actually. And that has happened to recent times. But the land is everlasting. It belongs to the nation Israel. Now then, even though there are Jews in the land, these Jews would all die off and go into a lost eternity, unless they accept Jesus as Savior. When God is talking about an everlasting possession, he's talking about Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and all of his seed formed a nation. There will be a remnant of Israel left when the Messiah comes back. That remnant, you've heard me say it now two or three times, it's that remnant that turns to Messiah Jesus in a day. In other words, there's instant conversion, the whole nation. And they're the ones that go into the millennium period as a saved nation, believing in the Messiah Jesus. Now, the Gentiles who want to be spiritual Jews, you cannot be. The Gentiles obtain blessings. Gentile believers obtain blessings through the Jewish people, nation Israel, but cannot inherit the land that belongs to the nation of Israel. Now, as I said, there are some charismatic people today who are praying for Israel, and they're so elated about the Jewish people, about Israel. They're excited about what's happening in Israel and doing very little witnessing. And a lot of these people, charismatics and non-charismatics, are becoming what you call Christian Zionists. They're all tied up in the land. That's the way majority of the Jewish people are today in Israel. They're Zionists, and they're tied up in the land. They think Israel is the one that's bringing in the Messianic age. They've been taught that, and you'll see tonight as we start into these portions about basic Judaism. But there are things that belong to the Jews, the nation Israel, and things that belong to the church. The church is made up of born-again Jews and Gentiles, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, there are a number of things that are unique to Judaism. One is that the young boy goes through his bar mitzvah. He becomes a man at 13 years and one day old. As I said earlier, the father now is no more responsible for his son's sins, for his son's deeds or actions. And the father is very happy about that. He no longer has to answer for what his son does. And they have passed it on to the girl in the liberal element of Judaism. But Orthodoxy, no. Marriage is ultimate. In the Orthodox form of Judaism, every male and female is expected to get married and have children. It's very important to basic Judaism. The home is central. One of the strengths of the Orthodox home, and Christians should take an example of this. The church should look at this very carefully. When these Jewish families immigrated to new lands, many of these areas did not have synagogues, but they would not darken the doorway of a Gentile church. What would happen on Shabbat, or Saturday, or Sabbath? The father then would become the rabbi. He's the priest of the family. He would then gather the family together, and they would go through a complete service in the home. It was different than from other days, and he would lead them through the entire service in the house. He was a spiritual leader, and he set the example. They never missed a service. How many Gentile Christians, when there's no church, what would you do? Would you sit home and watch TV, or do something else? If the church were taken away tomorrow, all these buildings throughout the United States were closed by some decree, where would you go? What would you do? I know what the Orthodox Jew would do. That would not stop him. And that's why it's so important in the family. The family structure is extremely strong. Okay, divorce among the Orthodox Jews is almost nil, although it is allowable. However, divorce among the Jewish people today has grown at an alarming rate. It is now 50% of the Jewish population, of every marriage, 50%, same as Gentiles. It's sad, but that's a fact. Yes? A rabbinical divorce has to go through a rabbinical council, and they receive what you call a get, G-E-T. And that get allows you to be divorced from your spouse. But it has to go through rabbinical sources. Orthodox Jews do not recognize a court divorce. It has to be from an Orthodox Jewish council, made up of rabbis, who will put you through the process to find out if this is really valid or not. The more reformed you are, the more liberal, anything goes, okay? Now, we don't advocate divorce. I personally see no room for divorce, okay? But one of the major problems of the church today is that we treat divorced people, once they are saved, they enter our congregation, worse than we do murderers, rapists, or anything else. I can remember as a younger man, how they put up in the pulpit a newly born again mafia man, or a newly born again murderer, but they never put up a divorced person. The divorced person was like leprosy. And we've got to be forgiving and understanding. God forgives the sin, but it is not advocated. My personal opinion, I see no room for it. There might be some cases there, but basically speaking, it was not intended. God did not intend this. All right, let's go ahead. Abortion, there's some different thinking today among Jewish people, and it's a sad fact. When a baby boy is born, he's not given a name until he's brit, or circumcision. At that point in time, he's given a Hebrew name, and then given his non-Hebrew name. Up until that day, he has no name. Under some areas of Judaism, they will consider that baby a non-entity. It's weird, really. Yet under real, strict orthodoxy, a child is a child at conception, and they take the scripture literally. But as you move along in the various sections of Judaism, that changes, and we'll show you some of that later on. All right, euthanasia, basically is not practiced among Jews. Abortion, with an Orthodox doctor, I've got notes from an Orthodox physician, is not acceptable. Euthanasia is not acceptable. I said the other night that euthanasia is spreading and it's moving in the area now of withdrawing food and water. I was shocked when I read that report and read the things that were going on in the name of medicine. I've come to my conclusion, I don't mean to frighten you by this. I spent some years in hospital work prior to getting back into the ministry. and I've stopped being shocked by what I see. The highest suicide rate is among psychiatrists and psychologists. Psychiatry and psychologists that study various philosophies and concepts of psychoanalysis and concepts of these men is basically occultic. Carl Jung practiced reincarnation. Give you some idea of Bundy's religious background. And some of the thinking, I have a brother-in-law who has a PhD in psych, so I know what I'm talking about. I've met too many psychiatrists in hospitals that have emotional problems. Really. So I know what I'm talking about. I've met them personally. They have a lot of serious problems. And what's cropping up today bothers me tremendously. Because what they are practicing now is on the older person. I'm surprised AARP hasn't taken a firm stand on this. But now they're practicing getting rid of the older people. What Governor Lamb said now is taking fruition, slowly, very quietly behind the scenes. What I think will happen eventually, if we live long enough, is that the Christians will become, especially the fundamentalists, will become a group of people that is not needed. They say, that's impossible. Study your history. Study what happened in Nazi Germany. Where did euthanasia, abortion, the purification of the race, genetic engineering, all of this concept start? With the physicians in Germany, with the intelligentsia in Germany, through Nietzsche and the great philosophers. It was picked up and motivated by a very charismatic leader, Adolf Hitler. Read the history. Go to the public library. Read what he had to say. His first goal was to get a hold of the church and take it under the protection of the state so that they would not be corrupted. And he said, I entrusted Christ as his savior. And yet the next breath he was wanting to get rid of the Jews. And this progressed as the church went against him. Then the church, in his language, became the opium of the people. But all this started not with the uneducated, but with the educated, the liberals. What's happening today is starting with the educated, the liberals, the intelligentsia, the physicians. It's doctors who are OBGYN, deliver the babies, and are also killing the babies. The American Pediatric Association came out a few years ago with a blanket statement. They came out of medical journals and said this, that they now support abortion, and yet they are the baby doctors. They are now practicing selectivity on babies. If a mother finds the baby has some malfunction, or if it's not a boy or a girl or not the baby they want, they abort it. I've got a newspaper article on that. I'm not sure where that one is. But anyway, they say they're not doing it, but they're practicing it. It was never approved to give an abortion all the way to the ninth month. They are now doing it. You can abort, and it's being done now, even at birth period, when the baby's being born, you're practicing euthanasia, or practicing abortion. Euthanasia is being practiced now on a greater scale than ever before. 70% of the American population was queried by, not a Gallup poll, but one of the polls, approved euthanasia. 70% of the American population queried in a poll, approved euthanasia. So you see, we're changing. Situational ethics. What happened to the code of Hippocrates, the hypocritical oath? The men are coming out of medical schools today with different philosophies and concepts of medicine than was taught 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. These things are going on. Where do you learn these things, Willie Green? Go to your public library. If your city's big enough, it will probably have a journal on the American Medical Association, American College of Surgeons. You'll find various writings there. Take time, read through a lot of technical data. You will find some of the thinking going on in our medical group today. Hospitals are just as guilty. They approve of it. And if a hospital, like let's say a Catholic hospital, I will say this much, I'll give the Catholics credit. A true Catholic hospital will not practice abortion or euthanasia. But a judge can order that patient withdrawn from that hospital and put into a hospital that will practice it. It's going on. I said, Arkansas, you can die by proxy. It doesn't have to be your loved one. It can be a court order, or it can be a physician or somebody who can make a decision for you. Under Orthodox Judaism, this is not practiced. Find yourself a good Orthodox Jewish doctor. Make sure it's practiced. All right. Legal rights, they vary in different situations. Kosher means practicing the Jewish laws of the Old Testament. And that's called kashrut. I would advise against